you. I believe it'll minister to you. And we're happy that you have tuned in. And if you're looking at this later on in the day, it'll still be on Facebook. We are also going to make the message available on our website, which is www.solidrockchurch-stillwater.org. And so if you will go there, you can always log on to the message and play it as many times as you like. So praise God for that. A couple of quick announcements. The normal schedule is not holding, as you are aware, those of you that attend here. And so we will be sending out emails and updates as to whether or not we are planning on having service online. I think the band is going to play on Sunday, so we'll have the drums and the bass and all that, the keys, and so we're planning on doing that Sunday. Also, it's just important that you realize things are just not the norm right now, and so be looking for your emails. There's a few of you that will contact you another way. If you do not have email, and particularly you, sister. So we will be doing that and taking care of that. Not everybody likes email, and I really don't blame you one bit. So anyway, then also want to make you aware that the offerings, we're receiving offerings, of course. The church, as I mentioned to you in my last communication, does not suddenly stop functioning just because we're not meeting here. We still have, financial needs, bills to be paid, things to take care of, insurance, salaries. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. And anyway, so let's bow our heads tonight and go before the Lord regarding our giving. And I'll tell you where and how you can give that in just a moment. But let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you and give you glory for taking care of us. Even during a time when things are not the norm and businesses have shut down, at least closed for a duration. Lord God, all of this stuff that's happening in our country right now, we are not the least bit shaken by it. We will not be shaken by it. We will not be swayed by it. So, Father, we're not going to turn our back on you, but we will look to you and continue to seek your face. Now, just as Isaac sowed in a famine, we will sow during the time of need. We recognize one of the worst things that we could do as believers is not give when that scripture has not changed. The word is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word will not change. So, Father, we're going to obey and do what you instruct. So I thank you for taking care of each household, each individual. I thank you for meeting the needs of the church. We just give you the glory and the praise and the honor for speaking to your people regarding their giving. In Jesus' name, if y'all agree, say amen. I can almost hear you out there saying amen, so praise God for that. Now, the ways that you can give, you can go onto the website, again, solidrockchurch-stillwater.org, and at the bottom of the main page is a place that says donation, and you can hit that and put your information in there, and we receive contributions via that method all the time. The thing about the donation on the webpage, that is PayPal, and as you know, PayPal takes a percentage, but that's okay. If that's the only way that you can do it, we're grateful and happy that you do. That's why we provided it. The other way is to mail it. Believe it or not, mailing still works. You can send it to Solid Rock Church, P.O. Box 1094, Stillwater, Oklahoma, 74076. Again, Solid Rock Church, P.O. Box 1094, Stillwater, Oklahoma, 74076. Also, we have a mailbox out here at the gate. We have a gated entry, and at the gate, when the gate is locked, that mailbox is right there. You don't have to get through the gate to put anything in it, so that is there. It's a locked a box. We also have cameras out here, so the cameras record who comes up and who's there, so we see all that too. And anyway, but you can drop it into that locked mailbox as well, and we will receive it there in the same way. So praise God. If you have an offering, and even if you don't, let's bow our heads and dedicate our giving to the Lord tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we dedicate our tithes and offerings to you for the work of the ministry. We give tonight in faith. We thank you that you receive at our hand and will multiply our seeds sown this night. So in Jesus' name, we declare, Father, that our needs are met. You supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you for that, and we believe it, and we sow our seeds tonight into good ground. In Jesus' name, again, if you agree, say amen. Amen and amen. All right, well, we are going to get into the word tonight, and the title of the message tonight is Healing Our Covenant Rights. So you would write it down as Healing-Our Covenant Right. And open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And I want to read you a few verses out of the book of Proverbs. Now, you know, I mean, this whole coronavirus thing is on the minds of people everywhere as more cases are diagnosed. I just heard the other day a friend of mine, or I say a friend, an acquaintance, a man that I knew from years ago, was diagnosed with the virus here in Stillwater. And, of course, he's being treated, and we have already put our faith on that and for his church family to completely recover. So I'm not going to mention any names, of course, but praise God for the healing virtue and the prayer of agreement where two or more agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. It shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. The prayer of agreement is a powerful, powerful tool. And we need to utilize that, get other believers that believe the word. Now, I wouldn't get somebody that doesn't believe the word. You don't want that, because that's not agreement. You need to find somebody that actually believes. Now, I know a lot of you in here, you get calls and asked to agree, and I know that. I get those calls. They ask me to agree and agree with me in prayer, and absolutely we will. I, at times, will text people and say, hey, get into agreement with me on this. And that's a scriptural way to add to the faith when you're believing God for something. What does the Bible say? One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000, so it's not 10 times. Oh, no, no, no. One puts 1,000, two puts 10,000, it's exponential. What does three do? 100? Is that 100,000? No, it'd be a right? I don't know. I'm not a mathematician, so y'all do your math, okay? One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000, three puts however many, a whole bunch, let's just say it that, a million, it is a million, 100,000, whatever, 100,000, yeah, well, praise God for that. We're not mathematicians here. I have a sister-in-law who is a mathematician, and we have some mathematicians in the Bible, in the body here, but we're not going there. So anyway, Proverbs chapter 4, open up to that chapter, and we're going to read from verse 20 through verse 27. Proverbs 4, verse 20 reads this way, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Or medicine, the Hebrew says, to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let your eyes look right on, and your eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now, it's very plain what the writer of Proverbs is saying here. Of course, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Remember that. My son, there's actually no sex indicated there. It's talking about children of God. So here, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For their life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all your flesh. See, this is God's medicine, God's prescription for your health, if you will. You take this word and you hear it. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word or the rhema of God, the spoken word of God. it's very, very important that you understand that the word is necessary for you to hear. You need to hear the word. You need to hear the word regarding your life. In this time when people are fearful, we're taking authority over fear and preaching that message as I did on Sunday, that you're more than conquerors. And you have scriptural rights and covenant rights regarding protection, regarding as tonight, your health. Healing is a covenant right. The Bible says that healing is the children's bread. And I will say this, that healing is your right as a believer. So if a person gets sick as a Christian, they can expect God to intervene and cause healing. I have found that it's a better way to live, and the better way to live, if you will, is just to not need healing. Amen? I mean, it would be better just to live healthy and not get sick in the first place. But that doesn't mean that there's to be any condemnation upon anybody who's not feeling well tonight. I know I have a few people in the church that are fighting off some symptoms in their bodies, whether it be a cold or whatever it may be. It doesn't really matter. But the fact of the matter is that according to the word of God, you have a right to walk in divine health, and you have a right to recover if you have that need tonight. So what you hear matters. Some people think that going to church, it really doesn't matter what church you go to. And you've seen the signs in many municipalities you drive in. You see, attend the church of your choice. Well, a lot of people are doing that because their parents did it, and their grandparents did it, and their great-grandparents did it. And the tradition goes on. And all along, they're not being taught what the Bible has to say, and particularly things like we're talking about tonight. You have a right to walk in divine health. There are some people that think God somehow gets pleasure out of making people sick. Now, we know that that's not right. We know that God is not the giver of death. Jesus said that he has come to give life and give it more abundantly. The Greek language there in John chapter 10 says with superabundance. Life with superabundance. No place of any kind of death. God is the giver of life. He said the thief comes to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. And so we ought to be able to ascertain from that, because the devil is a liar and he's a thief. He comes to steal the seed that is sown in your hearts. So yes, he is a thief. There's some debate about John chapter 10. Well, that's talking about one who comes into the sheepfold by some other means than through the gate. Yes, that's right. But Satan always tries to infiltrate the things of God and then into the people of God, and he'll never come in the front door. He always uses the back door. It's our duty to keep the back door shut, locked, and bolted. Amen. And keep a big angel by that door. Amen. Amen. So it is not a matter of, you know, God's doing this. God didn't bring coronavirus, COVID-19, to the U.S. The Lord is not the author of that junk. He's the giver of life. And we have promises. In fact, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Oh, man, I mean, we just need to choose life. I choose life. Why would you choose death if you can choose life? Why would you choose poverty if you can choose abundance? Why would you choose sickness if you can choose walking and feel well and be strong and full of vitality? Why would you choose one over the other? You know, we need to make the right choices. Amen. So the importance of taking the right kind of medicine cannot be overstated. I will say this, if you go to a doctor and they prescribe you with some kind of a prescription, give you some kind of medication, the key in that medication working for you is you taking it, and you taking it according to the prescription, once every 6 hours, two a day, whatever it may be, you know, that kind of thing. But you need to take it. You can go and pay $1,000 for a bottle of pills and medication. I know some of these prescriptions are ridiculously expensive. And, oh yeah, I have my medication, I've got my prescription, and it sits there on the nightstand, and you never take it, and it does you no good. Well, a lot of people have Bibles that are collecting dust. A lot of people have Bibles that they don't anymore know what it says in that Bible, but hey, this is my Bible, and you know, they dust it off, and they're really proud of their expensive Bibles, and that's fine to have a nice Bible. I have about 50 of them. Isn't that right, Ann? We have about 50. There are more at the house. You know, and so that's great, but the key is knowing what's in it. That's like having the bottle of prescription medicine and not taking it. You've got to ingest this. You need to be cautious what you hear. And you need to be very careful who you hang out with regarding these things. Now, this is an issue because some people run around with folks and get around people that all they do is talk about how bad everything is. I can't tell you, you know, I've heard it out there. People that think that God is somehow behind this and God is going to use this sickness and disease by putting this stuff on people to draw them to him. No, hold it a minute. Jesus suffered a death on the cross that included taking all sickness and disease on his body. So he took it so you and I wouldn't have to. That's called substitution and identification. He substituted his life for us and we identify with that substitution. In that same chapter of John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the door." Do you remember that? I am the door. And Jesus is the door. I mean, that's the way. And of course, that is likened back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, when Israel was coming out of Egypt and they took the blood and they put it on the doorpost. You remember the lamb that was slain? They had to offer up a lamb, first observe it for the 3 days and then offer up that lamb. And they took hyssop and took the blood, dipped it in the blood, and put it on the sideposts of the door, over the top of the door. The animal would have been slain near the bottom of the door, so there was blood on the threshold as well. And every place where that blood was present, the Bible said the death angel passed over. See, the wage of sin is death. The wage of sin will always be death. But we have been given life as we walked through the door. Jesus Christ is the door. We received Christ into our heart. We've been washed by the blood. The Bible says that old heart that was in you, that heart of stone has been taken out and replaced, Ezekiel said, with a heart of flesh. So old things, the New Testament puts it this way, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 17. All things have become new. Well, all things are new. So as a new creation, in fact, I believe the Greek says literally that you become something that never existed before. You're brand new. The person that went out and did this and did that in his prior life, her prior life, that's all. If you've received Jesus, that person died. Just like Saul. You remember Saul on the road to Damascus when he saw the bright light, was knocked off his horse, and blinded there for 3 days, that bright light that appeared to him, that was the Lord. And it's interesting. when Saul hit the ground, he said, you know, right away he called him Lord. I mean, the power of God shows up on your pathway, and the light that blinds you for 3 days, it's so bright. And that's literally what it did. It was like looking into a ridiculously large flash bulb. And it actually caused some scales onto his eyes, and those fell off after those a few days. And Paul was totally well. But the fact of the matter is, the one that was on the road to Damascus became a new man in Christ. Later on, he was able to say, "I have wronged no man." You remember that? It's in the Word. I've wronged no man. I remember Brother Copeland saying one time, "I caught him in a lie." We know that you had people stoned and dragged in before the lions and killed and all that. But the man that did that died on the road to Damascus, and a new creation was born. He was born again. That's talking about being born again. Old things pass away. All things become new. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's good. I'm very, very grateful, as all of you are, I know, for being a new man in Christ, a new woman in Christ. Amen. So the Word has, again, much to say about healing, but it also has a lot to say about walking in health. Now, one of the things that we need to look at in this whole process is the word obedience. And obedience, to some, is not a good word. If a person is legalistic, they don't want to hear that word obey or obedience, because there are people walking around, you know, not necessarily in this church, I can't say that. I have met some through the years who don't want to have to obey the things in the Word. They want to do their thing, live however they want to live, and yet still have the same privileges that are given to the obedient. Now, there is something to be said about being obedient. I will point you to Exodus chapter 23, verse number 25, and it reads this way: "And you will serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." Notice he said, "You will serve the Lord your God." Another way of saying that is be obedient to him to do what he tells you to do, right? In the beginning of chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy, the blessings of obedience are listed there in the first 14 verses. And then it goes on and talks about if you are not obedient and you are disobedient and you do not do the things the Lord has instructed, then all these curses will and can and will come upon you. And then he starts talking about what these curses are. Now look, the curse of the law is real. But as a believer, you and I, Galatians 3 verses 13 and 14, say that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I looked that word. I went back to that a little while ago in my office at the house in Galatians 3 and looked that word up again in my Thayer's Greek English lexicon. And it is real plain. That word redeemed means to be ransomed, to buy off, to free from the power of another. In fact, turn over to Galatians 3. You need to turn there. You need to see this. This is a verse of Scripture every believer needs to know. And I dare to say there are some that don't know what Galatians 3, 13 and 14 say. Verse 13, Galatians 3, verse 13 reads this way: "Christ hath." Hath is past tense. It means it's already done. You could say it this way: Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That was the cross. He was nailed to a cross. That the blessing of Abraham, verse 14, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The end goal for the Lord dying on the cross for us, being our substitutionary sacrifice, raising up from the dead again, was so that he could send his Holy Spirit to live and dwell in our hearts and empower us in our lives this day, bringing life to us. We've received the sacrifice who was Jesus. He is, the scripture said in John 10, was the door. We receive that, and then he sends his Spirit to live and to dwell in us. Now at the new birth, the Holy Spirit comes in as the Spirit of Christ. Romans chapter 10 brings that out. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. In other words, not even saved. When you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and he takes up residency in you as the Spirit of Christ. There is another giving of the Holy Spirit, and it's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, it's all listed, times where people were filled with the Holy Spirit and in those cases spoke in other tongues. Now what is that? That's the same Holy Spirit who came in at salvation now being given the permission to empower, to manifest himself as the Spirit of God. At salvation, he's the Spirit of Christ, the Anointed One, Yeshua, the one who saves, Jesus. But when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you give him the permission to endow you, endue you, if you will, with power from on high. And when that happens, he gives you a communication that it's between you and God. Oh, the devil hates speaking in tongues. Let me tell you something. There are preachers that listen to that voice telling them, that's not for today, that's not for today, that all passed away. I'm amazed at preachers that go in and pluck out places out of the Word of God they don't like or don't agree with and say it's passed away. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, it's always amazing what has passed away. It's the stuff they don't understand or the stuff they don't like or their denomination or whatever church they're affiliated with says is not right. But the bottom line is we go to the Word. What does the Word say? You know, as men and women that are looking to this Word, we have to take it for what it says. And, you know, it's there. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Exodus 15, verse 26, another place in the scripture, the Lord is called the God that heals you. Jehovah or Yehovah in Hebrew, Yehovah Rapha, the God who heals. I like another name that he's called, a covenant name, because he is our covenant-keeping God. He's Yehovah Yireh or Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees what's going on in your life, and then provides. You remember where that happened, Jehovah Jireh, where he's called Jehovah Jireh? When Abraham, you remember, took Isaac up on the mount and was going to sacrifice him? And it's really very interesting. The Lord stopped him, and then he looked, and behold, there was a ram caught in the thicket. And they called that place Jehovah Jireh, the place where God saw and God provided a sacrifice. If you'll recall, Abraham told Isaac, the Lord will provide a sacrifice. You remember that? The boy and I will return. He knew good and well he was going up there to sacrifice that boy. And yet he said, the lad and I will return. Well, I'll tell you, the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll recall this if you go in there. It says, Abraham received Isaac raised from the dead in a figure. Oh my, he was talking faith. He knew that if he actually plunged that knife into that boy, offering him up in sacrifice, that God would raise him up from the dead. That's a whole nother thing, but it's a wonderful, wonderful truth. And Abraham is called the father of faith. My goodness, that man stepped out in faith. He really did. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20, we have a verse of scripture that tells us that all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Do you remember that? I was looking at that, and literally it's every promise that we have is a resounding yes from him, I will do it for you. So if you'll find a promise that you can look up in the Word of God, it's a promise that he will back up. He will back up. You know, the scripture says he's redeemed you from the curse of the law. We just looked at that. Well, the Bible also says that with the stripes of Christ, you were healed. In Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5, he said, and by his stripes you are healed. That was Isaiah looking 400 years into the future, or 800 years, whatever it is. You can go back and check. But he was prophesying that with the stripes, you are healed. Peter's looking back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and says, by his stripes you were healed. It was done at the cross. Peter's looking back. Very interesting. Thank you, Lord. But those are covenant promises, and I'm telling you, it's for today. It's for us. He took the beating on him. The Hebrew says they beat him so badly that he didn't even have the shape of a human being when they were done with him. My goodness, some would say, well, you know, his visage was marred, Isaiah 52 said. His visage was marred more than any other. He had no form nor comeliness. How would you look if somebody took a cat of nine tails? You know, those nine strips of leather on that thing with all the little bits of metal on the end and whipped you on the back and then pulled it as it grabbed and tore the flesh off your back and did that 39 times? How would you look? How would you appear? One time and you'd be blood. I mean, blood would be gushing out. You'd be bloody and pain. Horrible pain. And Jesus took that beating for us. 39 stripes. That was a Roman scourge. 40 save one. 39 stripes. I heard a doctor say one time, now there are not 39 diseases, but that there are 39 major categories of disease. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I didn't make that up. I heard a doctor say it. And Jesus took 39 stripes, one for every category of disease. Interesting. Now, there are hundreds of diseases. We know that. But you're redeemed from every one of them. You have authority in the name of Jesus. He said, in my name, you go and you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Oh, my. I mean, you know, somebody asked me one time, they said, well, you know, as a church, do you guys believe in doctors? There are some churches that don't believe in doctors. My goodness sakes. Do you know who penned the Gospel of Luke, who wrote it? Who penned the book of Acts? Luke is the guy that did that. And Luke himself was a doctor. Jesus believed in doctors. The Lord believes in doctors. Doctors are good. Medicine is good. If it weren't for doctors and the medical community, a lot of Christians would not be here. I have friends that are in the medical profession. Hey, I'll tell you something. Doctors are good. Doctors are good. Nurses. We have nurses in the church as well. And I'm saying, praise God for them. And if a person, you know, doesn't get healed when they're praying, and this happens, somebody will put out their faith and try to believe God, and they don't get healed, and they end up going to a doctor. Go to the doctor. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with taking medicine, but take it in the name of Jesus, because you really don't know what's in that little pill that you're taking. Besides that, let me say this, and we'll move on. Doctors cannot heal. Doctors can stitch skin back together, set bones back where they've been broken, remove things, you know, tumors and so on and so forth. They can do all of that, but there's one who heals. One who heals. Doctors can't heal. They can just get involved in the process. God made the body to heal itself, literally. He placed that in the body, in his creation of man, where your skin, isn't that amazing how it comes back together again when you have a cut? Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. The blood clots. Sure, praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. All right, well, let's go on. You are, as covenant children of the King, you are afforded protection. Protection. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, it's interesting. He has sworn to protect us. He has sworn that he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. But then he has also told us that I will be your rear guard in the book of Psalms. He's going to watch over his word to perform it in us. I mean, you know, this is not new to us. You know, in Solid Rock Church, I've been since 1988 preaching this word to this church. I've been preaching since, actually, I went in the ministry in 83. But been preaching this word, and to hear that by his stripes you're healed, to hear Christ redeemed you from the curse, to heal that sickness is not of God and God doesn't use sickness to teach you anything, all that is not new to this congregation. And I know that. But that is, in some people in their lives, they've never heard that before. All they've ever heard is God will lay you on your back so that you'll look up. God will put this on you to teach you something. And those same people are running to the doctor to get free of something they think God, or will say God put on them to teach them. My opinion of that, if you really believe God put that on you to teach you something, then let's just leave it there and let it run its full course. You got no business if you really believe that. That's hogwash. God doesn't put sickness on people, and he's not using sickness in people's lives. He sent his Holy Spirit to teach us. He has given us his word. We have authority in the name of Jesus. I looked in the Word, and there are so many places where the will of God is spoken. You remember in Matthew chapter 8, a leper shows up, and he says to Jesus, if you are willing, you can heal me. And what did Jesus say? Do you remember? The King James says, I will. One other version says, I am willing, be thou whole or clean. Isn't that enough? That's the will of God. I will. I will be clean, be whole. I mean, my goodness. I mentioned this, I believe it was on the Sunday message that's on our website. I believe I mentioned about if people try to put sickness onto their children and somebody finds out about it. You know, there was a guy that injected his child with the AIDS virus or something. That guy's in prison, and he ought to be. Parents that on purpose try to make their children sick or put them in dangerous situations. Number one, they lose the children, which is appropriate. And secondly, if there's something, I mean, they're doing something that's criminal, they're arrested and put in jail, and that's where they should be. And yet some of these same religious people will come along and tell you, God put sickness on you to teach you. God is not a hitman for the mob, all right? He's not injecting his kids with sickness. He didn't bring this coronavirus to try to teach you something. No, we have authority over it. You better stand up against it in the name of Jesus and stand against the fear that tries to infiltrate the ranks and get you to take the bait. I've done an illustrated before with a fishing rod and different lures that I would put on it. And we showed how the enemy tempts people. And so I played the enemy, I guess. Somebody had to do it, so I did. And I had a fishing rod, and on the end, we went out and found a old beer can. When we first moved in out here and bought the land and built the building, there was a alcohol distribution place over here to the west, which is now, by the way, a Christian business. Anyway, but we found an old beer can out there and used it, and I hooked it on the hook and dangled it in front of somebody. Oh, wouldn't you just like a beer, you know, and dangle it, you know, and then we found a cigarette or made a fake cigarette and dangle it and then hung a magazine on there to try to, you know, use as a temptation point with the pornography or whatever it may be, you know, tempted. Well, the enemy comes to tempt. The enemy tries to put stuff in front of you to get you to bite on it, and that's what fear is all about. If he can get you going the direction he wants you to go, in your thoughts, man, that's the exact opposite of faith. Fear is the exact opposite of faith. It takes faith, Hebrews 11, verse 6, to do what? It is impossible to please God without faith. So, Chris, we could say it this way. If you don't have faith, you can't please God. Elnora, if you're going to please God, you have to have faith. So in order to have faith, what do you have to do? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You got to hear the word. You got to hear the word. You play the word. You keep the word in front of you. Don't let it depart. We read it in Proverbs chapter 4. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. It's life to all those that find it, and health, or the Hebrew says, medicine to all your flesh. Man, take God's medicine. Get on it. Meditate on it. Jerry brought it out on Sunday. Last Sunday on the message on the unleavened bread, that when you put that bread in your mouth, you know, at communion time, you're supposed to suck on that. We all say, chew on the word, meditate on it, suck on it, draw the life out of it. Draw on it. That's very, very, very important. So he said that he would never leave us. He said he'd never forsake us. During this time when this virus is floating around, I've got news for you. There's been viruses floating around for a long time. We've come through the flu season year after year after year. I was just saying at the end today, I don't remember the last time. I haven't had the flu since I came to Oklahoma, and I got here in 1981. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, let there not be any condemnation if you have been attacked with it. I know some powerful men of God that have been attacked with the flu in the last year or so. And, you know, you can be susceptible to things when you don't get enough rest. You know, your immunity gets pulled down. You need to keep your rest up, and so you need to sleep a lot. But just not in church. Remember that. Amen. Amen. Yeah, boy, one of our members called me and said, Pastor Dan, I really liked listening to you in my recliner. So maybe that would take a hint. It was a guy named Larry, and Larry's watching me right now. And I said, hey, wouldn't that be cool to have a bunch of recliners in the church? Oh, man, I would have so many Z's going out. It would be, you know. But then I kind of turned the tables on them. I said, yeah. And so, you know, there are people who want to lay in bed on Sunday mornings. You know, you got to amputate them off the mattress, for crying out loud. I said, yeah. And we could probably do an illustration, and I'll roll a bed in here, and you can get into that bed and lay there, and we'll have you, you know, we'll use you as an illustrative point. I don't know if he thought that was such a good idea or not. But anyway, it was all in good fun. Praise God. Larry, you know I love you, man. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 54, verse 17, here's one that you, again, need to, and we're about to wrap this up, by the way. Isaiah 54, verse 17 says that no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Oh, my goodness, you can stop right there. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. For your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. My goodness sakes. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you'll condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of God or of the Lord. I'll tell you something. The enemy comes to do something else. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he is called in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, around about verse 11, the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses, and lies, and he'll bring up to you your past, but what you used to be. But you're a new creation in Christ now. Old things passed away, all things have become new. You're a liar, devil. Shut your mouth in the name of Jesus. That's the way you approach it. Well, I'll tell you something, when he comes on and brings a symptom to your house, oh, I'll tell you, when that symptom comes, you reject it. You reject it. Now, I told you I haven't had the flu since I came to Oklahoma. I've been tempted to have the flu a time or two. And I remember one day when all of a sudden I was home and I started to feel chilled. And I said, right there, I grabbed my Bible. I said, no, in the name of Jesus. And I got up and took that word and began to quote scripture. And inside of 15 minutes, those symptoms left and they never returned. That has happened to me. Once, maybe twice in the, how many years have I been here? Since 1981. So what is that, 39 years? Yeah, is that right? 39 years. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. I guess I'm an official Okie now. Thank you, Lord. One more verse of scripture that I want to point out to you, then we're going to have a word of prayer together. And if you have prayer requests, you can submit them over the site and use the comments thing if you want to comment, and we will go back and grab those. But I'm going to put my faith out for everybody tonight that is here and out there listening. So 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray or I wish, the King James says, above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I love these verses. They're basic to us, but we need to hear the basics over and over and over again and get your faith pumped up with the basics. So many times people want more than the basics. You don't have the basics down yet. They used to say to Brother Hagin, when are we going to move on from this Mark 11, 23 and 24? And he said, when you get it, then we'll go on. Man, I've had people come to me, I've heard that already. Well, I've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I'm from Revelation. I've been reading the books in reverse order, Revelation, then Jude, then 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, so on. And I'm all the way back to 1 Samuel now, and I'll finish up the entire Bible in reverse book order. I'm not reading the books backwards, okay? I'm not reading the lines backwards, just the reverse order, that's all. I've read through this book how many times? I don't have it all. None of us do. We need to practice the things that we do know, be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But, beloved, I wish or I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul, your psuche, your mind, will, and emotions prospers. So how's your mind going to prosper? You got to put the word of God into your thoughts and renew them. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tell us to renew our minds with the word of God. Well, I know I put out a lot tonight, but you can go back and listen to it again, either off the website or replay this broadcast. But many of you have prayer needs tonight. Some of you are in need of healing. Some of you have been attacked in your physical flesh, and I'm here to tell you that the Lord is the same. He's still the same. He still heals today like he did back then. That's what the Bible means when it says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. He's the same. He's the same. The one that healed in the Bible heals today. The one that healed way back then when people wore robes and sandals and all that. You say, I wear sandals and I wear a robe. Well, yeah, but that's when you get up in the morning. Amen. But I'm just saying that he's the same today as he was back then. He's the God that heals. He's the God that delivers, the God that sets free. So put your faith out tonight, whatever your need is, and let's bow our heads and go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that your word is alive in us. We thank you that your power to heal is present. You live and dwell in your people, and I thank you for that. I praise you and give you glory for healing right now, healing flowing across the airwaves, Lord God. There's no distance in the spirit. Anybody that is afflicted tonight, reach out and receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you that there is absolutely no distance in the Spirit. Where two or more agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Well, we agree for your healing tonight. We agree for your freedom from fear and worry tonight in Jesus' name. As you put your trust in him and continue to put the word into your thoughts, your mind is renewed to think in line with the word of God. Father, we thank you and we praise you for that this night. Now just receive your healing. Receive, and if it's a financial need, there's some concerns about jobs that have been cut off for the time. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for multiplying the seed that's been sown and taking care of your kids. You are Jehovah Yireh, Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees and provides, and you will provide for your people in Jesus' name. And I speak peace over your people tonight, Lord God, and I thank you for each one of them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, one last thing. I would be remiss if I didn't offer for those out there that may be watching that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You've gone to church, but just going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You can sit in church your whole life and never be a Christian. You know the line that's coming next? You can sit in your garage all day and never turn into a car. Well, there are people that sit in church their whole life and never actually accept Christ. Accepting Christ is an act of your own will. So bow your head with me, and if you will, we will base this on John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, and Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, and receive Jesus Christ into your heart this night. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose up from the dead for me. I believe that you are and always will be God in the flesh, sent to redeem mankind. I accept you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I thank you that you caused me to be a new creation in you. I believe in you, Jesus, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior this night. In Jesus' name, I pray. If y'all can agree, say amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Again, we will be live Sunday morning. And so join us again at 10 o'clock. And like I said, we'll have the band playing on Sunday. And we'll have, we can have up to what I think we'll have four people here outside of our families. There's six of us, and we'll have four more. So, wow. Yeah, well, we'll probably have to have some stay out there until the band is done. Then they go out there, and then the others, whatever, we'll work it. So, listen, God bless you. Love you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. God bless. We'll see you on Sunday.